Good morning. I'm glad that you're here today. It's good to see you. We do have many who are away, but we pray the Lord will be with them and His blessings upon them. And we're thankful for you being here. And we hope that you can come back tonight at 6 o'clock and join us again as we worship God, study from His Word. And if you're visiting especially, we are glad that you're with us. And if you'll fill out a visitor card, we'll have a record of you being here. And we hope that we can encourage you at future times as well. So I invite you to get a Bible and join with us. We will be getting to Romans 10 that Brad read for us in just a little while. But we want to begin our study this morning in 1 John chapter 2 about being in Christ. And it could be that you're with us this morning and you are not in Christ. We hope that this lesson will teach you whether or not you are in Christ, what it means to be in Christ, and how to get in Christ if you are not in Christ today. We sang about the redemption that we have in Jesus, and that is one of the points that we'll see in our lesson, that our redemption is only in Christ. If I am not in Christ, I am not redeemed, as we just sang. If you sang that song this morning and you're outside of Christ, you are not yet redeemed. God wants to redeem you through His Son. It is in the Son that that's accomplished. And we want to help you accomplish that in God's way, as God has revealed to us, as Brother Kyle correctly noted from Peter and Paul both, that it is important that we remind ourselves of the truths that we are established in, that we may never tire of them, that we might always understand that it is in Christ that all of our blessings are found. So if you're not in Christ today, we want to help you accomplish that. We urge that you will do the Lord's will and the Lord's way. We hope that by studying God's Word this morning, you'll learn that. And if you know it and have been delaying, that there'll be no longer delay, but you will fully and completely commit yourself in obedience to Jesus for the salvation of your soul. And 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, the Apostle John writes by inspiration, "Now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." There are many people today who tell us that commandments and commandment keeping is a bad thing, that that's a wrong-headed approach to loving God, that to keep the commandments of God is in somehow or another trying to earn your salvation. The furthest from the truth is the truth of the matter, because you see, the Word of God says that if we love Jesus, we will keep His commandments. That this is the love of God, that you keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. They are not a burden upon us. And even so here, John assures us that we know that we know Christ if we keep His commandments. But let's go further in verse 5. "Whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him." Now, this is the point of our study this morning. Look, in verse 3, he talks about knowing Him, and verse 5, about being in Him. To be in Christ means to know Christ. I do not know Christ unless I am in Christ. Do you see that? "By this we know that we know Him," verse 3, "if we keep His commandments." And verse 5, he says, "When I'm keeping His word, God's love is perfected, matured within me." And any person who would do that, by this we know that we're in Him. So our assurance of knowing Him is the same as being assured that we're in Him. If I'm not keeping His commandments, keeping His word, I don't know Christ. I'm not in Christ. I don't have this relationship that is primary to the blessings that are possible in Christ. You see, I can't just say I know Jesus, but I'm disobedient to His word. I'm lying to myself. You see, verse 4 says, "I'm lying and the truth isn't in me." If I say I know Jesus, but I'm disobeying Him. If I say I'm in Jesus, but I'm not keeping His word. The word is a little preposition. In our language, in, is epsilon nu in the Greek. In, the preposition, denoting a fixed position in place, time, or state, and by implication, instrumentality, that is, the means of, that is, as a relation of rest. What we want to suggest here and see that is taught in the Word of God is the Christian has a relation with Jesus. But unless and until that relation with Jesus is formed, we're lost. Just got a call this morning from a lady. I'm going to follow up here later in the day, who wants to be a part of a church community, and we'll talk more about that. You know, the first importance is to have a relation with Jesus, to be saved in Christ, and then that relationship with His people is formed. It's important that we understand what this is all about being a member of the Lord's church, is that a relationship with Jesus is formed. That there is a position of rest that is attained, a blessing that is achieved. Being in Christ, knowing Christ, having a relation with Him that does not exist without Him. That's what we're going to explore from the Word of God this morning. It's fundamental, it's basic, but it's imperative, it's essential that we know this, else we will be led into false doctrines. We'll note this next. Salvation is in Christ. Acts 4:12. In none other. Here's our preposition. This little preposition in. In none other is there salvation. He is the means. He is the instrumentality. And it is only as a position is fixed, a relation is accomplished in Jesus, only by Him and through Him, are we going to be saved. Outside of Christ, without Christ, there is no salvation. Again, in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Same preposition. Again, He is the means of it, and it is only in this relationship with Him that eternal life is granted by God.
That's the point of our study and to understand, because if we are deceived about what it means to be in Christ, then we will be deceived by false doctrines. There are false doctrines of salvation by faith only that tells people that you are saved before and without keeping certain commandments of God. And so people are told they're in Christ when they're still out of Christ. People in the denominations, the churches of men that teach salvation by faith only, are assured by men that they're in Christ. But by not keeping the commandments that Christ has given to be saved, they're still outside of Christ and without His blessing. This is the deception if we don't understand and know what it means to be in Christ. A false confidence of the denominational expressions of faith occurs. You see, when someone is told they're saved by faith only, and faith has never been faith alone is not the means of getting into Christ in this relation of redemption. False confidence is given to people in the churches of men. We've written some about that in the bulletin this morning. You see, it's by not understanding what it means to be in Christ. People who are outside of Christ are given confidence that they're in Christ and saved, but they're still lost. Now, again, false hope of heaven is introduced into people's thinking. People have a hope of heaven, but they're not in Christ. We have no hope of heaven if we're outside of Jesus, if we're not in Him, if He is not the means of our redemption and a relation of salvation is formed with Him because of our faith in keeping His commandments to obtain the blessing He offers us by His grace through our faith. So let's talk about the spiritual benefits that are obtained in Christ. In this relation with Christ, as He is the means of them,
And that it is only as we are in this relation with Him that they are obtained.
In Christ, things that are essential to salvation and for our salvation. We are new creatures in Christ.
2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. If any man is in Christ, there's our word.
If any man is in Christ. You see, somebody can be in Christ and he can be out of Christ. If I'm out of Christ, I'm not a new creature, am I? If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I've got to be a new creation before God, a new creature in His sight, or I'm lost. I won't be saved. That's how important it is to be in Christ.
Ephesians 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ.
Get our word.
He is the means of every blessing. It is only as I am in Christ, that as a new creature, that these blessings are mine. That these blessings are yours. If you're not in Christ, they're not yours.
God extends them to you and He makes them available to you. But you have to choose to be in Christ to have them personally in your life. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. In whom?
Again, that little word in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of our sins according to according to His grace. Let's read all that together here. Okay. A little sidetrack. The riches of His grace. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Redemption. To be redeemed from sin. Forgiveness. The sins released by God through the blood of Jesus Christ. So the blood of Jesus is activated in Him. He is the means, and His blood is the instrument by which we obtain our redemption, our forgiveness. Romans 3 and verse 24 says the same thing. It says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The redemption is in Christ. There's our preposition again. He is the instrument, the means of obtaining that redemption. And as it describes now a position that is obtained by the one who previous was not in that position. You see, there's a time when we were not new creatures. There's a time when we had no spiritual blessing. There's a time when we were in sin and not redeemed. But now in Christ we have a position of redemption. A position of forgiveness. Romans 8, verse 1. There is now therefore no condemnation to who? Who is it that's not condemned? Here tell a lot of people, as long as you're a good person, moral person, upright and kind to your neighbor, honest person, you'll go to heaven. But look, the Bible says there's no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. If I'm not in Christ,
you know, all sin, Romans 3:23. So we all need redemption. We all need forgiveness. But it's only those who are in Christ who have no condemnation.
We'll go on to say in that verse, in just a moment we'll get back to that verse, something else that described by those who are in Christ. But before we do that, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. Sanctified. We're sanctified in Christ. Once more, He is the instrument.
He is the means of our sanctification. And as we are in Him, then in this position of redemption, we have sanctification. We are set apart
unto God, holy before Him through the blood of Jesus Christ. Again, 2 Corinthians 1 and in verse 20. We're just going through a list of things here, you see. The Bible has a lot to say about things that are in Christ. He is the means, He is your instrument, and it's when we come into a position of rest with Him that we are the recipients of such blessings of our salvation. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20, for all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. All the promises of God are fulfilled in Christ, obtained in Christ. If I'm not in Christ, then I don't have the benefit of those promises. I don't have those blessings. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, Him who knew no sin, He made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. In Christ, we obtain righteousness through faith. Christ is the means of us obtaining the righteousness God makes available to us. Again, Philippians 3 and verse 9. And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness. See, when remember John, he said, hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. When you keep the commandments of God, that's not a righteousness of your own. That's the deception of the faith-only doctrine. That's the deception. When you keep the commandments of God, it's not a righteousness of your own. But see, you've already sinned against God. We've all sinned. We all, and we need redemption from our sin. You see, Paul says, I'm not seeking a righteousness of my own, which is from the law. That would mean never sinning. Then it'd be your righteousness, according to the law. But that which is through faith in Christ. You're counted righteous through faith in Christ. The righteous, and look, it's through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. So, again, we obtain righteousness in Christ. It's not Christ's righteousness applied to you. There's another one of the errors of the denominations. You see, one of the big errors taught is that you're so corrupt and so defiled that the only way God could redeem you is to replace your filthiness with Jesus' personal righteousness. And so He sees that when He sees you now, because you believe that He's the Son of God, and He imputes the righteousness of Jesus upon you. And those we're counted righteous by faith. He removes our sin. We stand justified before Him through the means of redemption, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm getting off in another area, I know, but it's important to see. You see, when we start, if we don't understand what it means to be in Jesus, then all of these errors compound to convince someone to be outside and stay outside of Christ, thinking they're blessed and saved in that condition. Truth is in Jesus. Ephesians 4, verse 21, same word. Grace is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2 and 1 and 1 and verse 9. It's important that we be in Christ. So that's the next question. Just look what the Bible says about who is in Christ and who is out of Christ for a minute. The person who's in Christ is the Christian. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Those who were of and belonged to and pertained to Jesus, on the other hand, before you're a Christian, you're without Christ. Ephesians 2 and verse 12, the Gentiles who were without Christ in this world, there was a time that you were outside of Christ. You didn't have Him. You had no part in Him. You see, in Christ, you're a child of God. We're all children of God, sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. But those who are outside of Christ are sons of disobedience. Ephesians 2 and verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the powers of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. The sons of disobedience are not following Jesus, don't have faith in Christ. They're out here. They're not in Christ, but outside. They have no relation with Christ in their disobedience. Those who are in Christ, remember there's no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If we're in Christ, if our relationship is with Him, then we're going to be walking according to the Spirit. That's the same thing as keeping His commandments. 1 John 2 and verse 3, keeping His Word. Verse 5, because it's the Spirit has revealed that Word. I'm walking in harmony with the directive of the Spirit of God. But those who are outside of Christ are walking according to the flesh. That's why we have to become a new creature by getting in Christ. See? Because before, in the flesh, we're not serving Jesus. are outside of Him.
Those who are in Christ are near God.
Those who are not are far from God. Ephesians 2 and verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So the blood of Christ brings those who are out of Christ near to God by bringing us into Christ, into this relationship by means of His blood. Ephesians 5 and verse 8, in Christ we're children of light. Outside, we're in the darkness. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light.
See, in sin we're in darkness. In Christ we're light, in the light. We're following the light. We're children of light. So He says, walk that way. Live that way. You see, and that, there's an implication there, isn't it? Once we get into Christ, it's not about just living however we please now. It's about living the way the Son of God, who is the light of the world, teaches us to walk. Keeping His commandments, keeping His word, submitting ourselves to His will. There's no comfort. There's no comfort of salvation out here, is there? See that? The only comfort of salvation is being in Christ. Look at the people who are in Christ are the ones who are cleansed from sin. Such were some of you. As He has described the moral sins there in Corinth and in the world, generally in Corinth specifically, He says, such were some of you. Some of you were adulterers and fornicators and idolaters and homosexuals and thieves and covetous and drunkards and extortioners and revilers. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. In the name of Christ, you see, you have cleansing from sin. Outside of Jesus, there's defilement.
In sin. Cleansing from sin, defilement of in sin. Cleansing from or defilement in. You see,
that's where we are if we're not in Christ. Defiled. In mind and conscience, Titus 1:15 says. In Christ we have redemption. Remember Ephesians 1:7? So the redeemed. Those in Christ are redeemed from sin. Those outside of Christ are slaves of sin.
On 6 and 17. Thanks be to God that whereas you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of doctrine to which you were delivered.
And having been made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. To be redeemed from sin, we become a servant of righteousness. Outside of Christ, we're slaves. We're bound. We're in bondage to sin. Now you see how futile and how wrong thinking it is to tell somebody who's out here that they're okay, spiritually. Tell somebody who's outside of Christ that they're going to go to heaven. Being outside of Christ, somebody who's outside of Christ is not going to go to heaven. We're only going to go to heaven if we're children of God, walking according to the Spirit. If we're living near God in the light, cleansed and redeemed from our sin. Saved from wrath. In Christ we are saved from wrath.
Romans 5 and verse 9. Much more, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him.
But look, out here, outside of Christ, we are lost and under wrath. The wages of sin is death. This helps us get to the why.
Why it is essential to be in Christ.
To be a new creature. All of the blessings of salvation and the hope of heaven is in Jesus. In Him. Not out of Him. Not outside of. Not away from Christ.
Now that leads us to the practical point. Is how do I get into Christ?
How does somebody who's over here out of Christ get into Christ? How is that position of rest obtained? Christ has made all that available. He is the instrumentality, the means of all the blessings of grace and redemption. Am I to do anything? Or am I to do nothing? Am I to do certain things?
What does the Bible teach about getting into Christ? Well, first of all, it teaches that God calls people who are out of Christ by His gospel to get in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9. See, God knows there are people who are out of Christ, who are not in Christ, who are lost in sin. God knows that. That's why it's His Son. And He calls those who are out of Christ to come into Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So, God is calling the lost. God is calling those who are out here in the world. Back up here. Calling those who are without Christ and in disobedience and in the flesh and darkness and defilement of sin. God is calling everyone to come into Christ. Any doctrine that says there are certain people out of Christ, regardless of what they think, do, or say, cannot get into Christ is a false doctrine. God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God is calling through His gospel. And if you're out of Christ this morning, He is calling you by His gospel to get into Christ, to come into fellowship with His Son. That's why the gospel was, or why His apostles were commissioned to preach the gospel to the whole world. In Luke 24 and verse 47, Luke records that Jesus said to them, "Thus it is necessary," verse 46, "thus it was written that it was necessary for Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." The gospel is preached in His name, by His authority. He is the means. He is the one that will grant the remission of sins. And so it's preached. Now look at 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21. God's not going to call you by feeling something in your bosom. Feeling some warm thing. Having some emotional experience. That's not how God called people to the fellowship with His Son. He does it through the gospel, through a message of good news. That you're lost, but here's a way to get saved. Here's a way to be found. You're in defilement and darkness, but here's a way to bring you to life and purity, cleansing. Gospel does that. Feeling doesn't do that. The gospel does that. So look at 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21. Paul wrote, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." A message is preached. God is doing the calling the lost to come into Christ. Now, the Bible teaches repeatedly that we've got to call on the name of the Lord. God is calling, and now man needs to call on the Lord. How is that? Why is that important? How is that accomplished? Let's go over to Romans 10, the reading this morning, and note for just a moment that verse 8 begins with a statement about the gospel, about the message, about God's Word. It says, "The Word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." The word of faith that we preach is God calling the lost to be saved, to come into Christ. And here's the message. He says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, this passage says that we must acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. So, there's an aspect here of calling on the name of the Lord that has to do with acknowledging that the Lordship of Jesus. Remember the Ethiopian? When he saw some water, Philip preached Jesus to him in Acts 8. And they came to some water. And the man said, "Well, here's some water. What's keeping me from being baptized?" And he said, "If you believe that Jesus is the..." Or, I'm sorry. Philip said, "If you believe, you may." And the Ethiopian said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." With his mouth, he acknowledged, he confessed that Jesus is Lord. That Jesus is the ruler. His power, his authority is available and possible to save you from your sin, to redeem you from its bondage. Now, he says, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So there's confession of that he is Lord, and there is the belief that God raised him from the dead. And the reason stated is because the heart, with the heart one believes in order to righteousness. Unto, in order to righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made in order to obtain salvation. Now, he goes on, whoever believes in him shall not be put to shame. Now, the point we want to make here, and because this is not the sum total of what it means to call on the name of the Lord, we're going to find out some more. But calling on the name of the Lord means essentially appealing to God, acknowledging and appealing to God to obtain the blessing that he offers. God's calling us to come to it. Now here's a sinner out here who learns, who hears the word of faith that is preached, and believes God raised his son from the dead, Jesus, and confesses Jesus is Lord. This is the one who is calling on the name of the Lord. Now, what else can we learn about that? We're going to find out a little bit more here as we go on. So let's don't just shut the book right there. You see, a lot of people just shut the book right there. And say, well, what it means to call on the name of the Lord is to acknowledge faith, confess faith, and that's all you need. Let's just go on a little further, just to make the point of verse 14 of this matter of what enables the calling. How shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Why is the preaching important? Because it's the message that is preached. What message? A message of good news. A message that calls us into fellowship with the Son. A message by which we have remission of sins. Luke 24 and verse 47. Remember, repentance and remission of sins will be preached in His name. So now we have confessing faith. We have the faith, I'm sorry. We have a person's belief. And we have confessing that faith. Now, part of that message is about repentance too. So we're going to have to repent of our sin if we're going to have remission of sins. Well, let's find it happening in Acts 2. 37 to 41. When they heard this, see, these people are there at Pentecost in Acts 2, they heard God's call through the gospel. They heard the message preached. They heard the word of faith that could produce faith that Jesus is the Christ. They were cut to their heart and said, "Men, brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said unto them, "Repent ye, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now these people are outside of Christ. But now by the hearing of the word of faith, they are brought to faith, a conviction of their sin, and they're told, "You need to repent, and you need to be baptized. And if you'll do that, your sins will be washed away. You'll have the blessings that attend salvation. The gift of the Spirit to be yours." And with many other words, he exhorted and testified, saying in verse 40, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation, from this perverse generation." For they then had received his word. To receive his word was to receive God's call, wasn't it? That's how God was calling them. They that received his word were baptized, and there were added in that day unto them about 3,000 souls. What happened on the day of Pentecost? About 3,000 people who were in the darkness and death of sin outside of Jesus were brought into Christ. They came into Christ. They came into a relation with Christ of redemption, of forgiveness. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Verse 47. The lost were being saved. Call on the name of the Lord. One other verse about that. By the way, in all those verses, we didn't read anything about prayer being the calling, did we? See, people today are taught the way you call on the name of the Lord is pray the sinner's prayer. Well, this verse said, "Confess that He is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him." This verse said, "Repent and be baptized." Now look at Acts 22, because here we have a man who had been praying for 3 days. 3 days he'd been praying.
And Ananias, the preacher, came to him, preached to him, told him, Christ has appointed you to be a witness to the Gentiles. And then he says, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You need to call on the name of the Lord, Saul. But Saul had been praying 3 days, but he hadn't been calling on the name of the Lord yet. You see, to call on God's name for redemption is to respond in faithful obedience to the conditions He sets. The condition that He sets was, you believe God raised Him from the dead upon hearing of the word that is preached. You confess your faith. You repent of your sins. You be baptized for the remission of those sins. And He will add you to the church. He will add you. He will bring you into relation with Jesus Christ where before you were outside. You see? So, to get into Christ, I have to be baptized into Christ. Now, importantly, there's a different preposition used in Matthew 28 and verse 19. In that verse of the commission there, when Jesus said, all authority has been given to me both in heaven and upon earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The word is eis there, which means to enter into, to bring you into a place, into a relationship. And so, He says, you teach them and you baptize them. You baptize them into Christ. You bring them into a relationship with Jesus, where before there was none, without Christ, no hope, without God in the world. Where are you today? Are you outside of Jesus? Have you gotten into Jesus in the way the Bible says? If you were convinced that by a sinner's prayer, you accepted Jesus into your heart and that saved you from your sin, you have a false hope. You have a false confidence. That's a false message of salvation because that's not in the Word of God. You're still outside of Jesus. That's why people in denominations are lost. They are lost and they need salvation. They need to come into Christ. It upsets me to hear Christians say people in denominations will be saved. They are lost. Why did you leave the Baptist church? Why did I leave the Methodist church? Why did you leave the Holiness church? Why did you leave if salvation is there? Salvation is in Jesus, not in the churches of men. Galatians 3, 26 and 27 says, we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Just as many as were baptized into Christ came into that relationship of salvation, of redemption. If you're not baptized into Christ, you're none of His. You're still outside. Don't believe the false hope of the false doctrines that give false confidence. That's the devil's lie. Complete surrender of yourself in obedience to Jesus obtains forgiveness and fellowship with Him. By this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. If any man says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, he's a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoso keeps His word, in him the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. See? Our confidence is only when we are in Jesus. Those who are outside of Christ or without Christ, disobedient, in the flesh, far from God, children of darkness, in defilement, in bondage of sin, lost and under wrath. That's where you are if you haven't gotten into Christ the way the Word of faith, the gospel that God is using to call you to salvation. If you haven't believed and obeyed it, that's your case, that's your condition right now before God, right now. But you see, you can get into Christ right now. Right now, you can become a Christian, a child of God, and live according to the Spirit. Be near to God and in the light, cleansed, redeemed, and saved from the wrath to come. The choice is up to each one of us. to be baptized into Christ. You see, this is the moment when I come into this relationship. As many of you as were baptized into Christ, you've been put on Christ. Faith is essential. Confessing that faith is essential. Repenting of sin is essential. It is when I'm baptized into Christ that the blessing of cleansing, of redemption through His blood is achieved. That's why Saul was told, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Power was not in Saul. The power was not in the water. The power was in the blood of Jesus. And the faith that Saul would place in Christ to do what he said, that he would then bless him as he promised. And once you did that, you see, the Bible says we're to live faithfully in Christ. It may be that you're a Christian, but long ago, you stopped living and walking as you received Christ Jesus the Lord. You see, Colossians 2 says, as therefore you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Colossians 2, rooted and grounded in your faith.
It could be that you haven't been doing that. You need to repent. You need to confess that sin to God. You need to be restored to faithful living. Look at the next verse, 1 John 2 and verse 6. It goes on to say, he who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. If we say that we reside in Christ, there's our preposition again. If we are in Him, we've got to live the way He lived. If you haven't been living the way He lived, Jesus says in chapter 1, His apostle does, chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Christian is told to repent and pray, and God will forgive. Are you out of Christ? If so, get into Christ. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're a Christian, but you haven't been living like one in Christ ought to live, be restored to faithfulness. Live according to the Spirit. Put away sin. Confess it to Jesus. Let His blood cleanse you. Repent in your heart and show it by bearing the fruit of that repentance in living for Him from this day forward. The call of the gospel is God's call. We urge you to answer God's call. Altogether we stand and sing.
So, Lord, save us.